Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today, we're tackling a pretty huge concept in Christianity, salvation by grace. We're going to be looking at Dr. Daniel K. Darko's lecture series on the prison epistles, specifically his focus on Ephesians 2.1-10.
It's a passage that's just like packed with meaning, and Dr. Darko really does a fantastic job, I think, of breaking it down in a way that's insightful and, you know, it makes you think.
Absolutely. He starts off by asking this question, and it's one I'm sure we've all thought about at some point. What are we actually saved from? You know, we use the word salvation all the time, but do we really get what it means?
Yeah, and Dr. Darko, he doesn't shy away from how serious it is. He uses some pretty strong language when he talks about humanity's state before Christ. You know, he says things like dead in trespasses and sins, a state of death, even trapped.
Yeah, he paints a pretty bleak picture, to be honest. But I guess it's important to understand just how much we need saving before we can appreciate God's grace.
Right. Exactly. And to really drive that point home, Dr. Darko, he outlines three areas where we're held captive: the world, the flesh, and evil spiritual powers.
Okay, let's break those down a little. So when he talks about the world, he's talking about all those societal pressures, those ideologies, you know, the things that pull us away from God. He even quotes this scholar, Clint Arnold, who calls it, get this, organized evil. He says it provides a script for living life totally apart from God.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of chilling when you think about it. But it's so true, right? Think about how often we get caught up in what's trendy, what's popular, what's politically correct, even if deep down it goes against what we believe. It's like we're constantly bombarded with messages telling us who to be and what to think.
It's easy to get swept up in all that, for sure. It takes real effort to stop and think, are my choices lining up with God's will, or am I just trying to fit in with the world?
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's the flesh, which Dr. Darko describes as our own sinful nature, those desires and impulses that, you know, they just kind of lead us astray. It's that inner battle we all face, that pull towards being selfish and just wanting instant gratification.
We all know that feeling, don't we? That temptation to just take the easy way out, even when we know it's not the right thing to do.
Exactly. And then finally, there's this idea of evil spiritual powers, which I know it can be a tough concept for some people to wrap their heads around, especially here in the West, where we don't always talk about spiritual warfare. But Dr. Darko makes the point that we can't fully grasp salvation unless we acknowledge these forces that are at work, you know, forces trying to influence us and pull us away from God.
Right. He even poses this question, and it really made me think. If you knew a loved one was being influenced by negative spiritual forces, would that change how you try to help them?
It definitely makes you stop and consider the spiritual side of things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Makes you realize there's a lot more going on than what we see on the surface.
There's a lot to unpack there, that's for sure. But then, just when it's starting to feel kind of heavy, Dr. Darko, he introduces this amazing shift in Ephesians 2 with the phrase, but God.
It's like this huge breath of fresh air, right? Like a glimmer of hope shining through all the darkness.
Exactly. And this is where we really see God's true character.
He's not some far-off, vengeful being waiting to punish us for messing up. He's described as being rich in mercy and overflowing with love.
It's like he's saying, I see you. I know you're struggling, and I'm here to rescue you.
And he does that through his amazing grace. Dr. Darko uses this great analogy of a drowning person. Would you ever push away a helping hand if you were drowning? Of course not. Well, that's what God does. He extends his hand through grace, offering us a lifeline to pull us out of all that despair.
It's such a powerful image. It shows us that God isn't just watching us flounder. He's actively pursuing us, wanting to bring us into relationship with him.
And it's important to remember, grace isn't passive. It's this powerful force intervening in our lives, even when we're lost and sinking.
I love how Dr. Darko connects Christ's death and resurrection to our own spiritual death and resurrection through grace.
Yeah, he explains that just like Christ died for our sins and was raised to new life, we also die to our old selves and are raised to new life through God's grace.
It's like we're given this brand new start, a fresh beginning, but it's not something we earn. We don't deserve it. It's a free gift given out of God's incredible love.
And that's like the biggest thing to remember, you know? This amazing grace, this gift of salvation, it's not something we can earn by, like, you know, being good or working hard for it.
It's not about racking up points, right? Like some kind of spiritual scorecard.
Exactly. It's not a reward. It's freely given. We receive it through faith.
And faith, as Dr. Darko points out, it's more than just, you know, believing in your head. It's about trusting in it and then acting on that belief.
It's about surrendering to God, letting his love and grace change our hearts and minds.
So it's not about checking things off a list, like some kind of spiritual checklist. It's about realizing that we're already loved and accepted, just as we are, flaws and all.
And that's the amazing thing when we really get that, when we understand grace. It leads to a life that's transformed by gratitude and love.
And, you know, Dr. Darko tells this really powerful story to illustrate that. It's about John Newton, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace. You know, he was a slave trader before he experienced this incredible transformation through grace.
It's such a powerful example, right? To think this man was involved in something so horrific, but then experienced the transformative power of grace. He went from being part of the problem to being a voice against it, speaking out for God's mercy.
It makes you stop and think, doesn't it? If grace can transform a heart like that, imagine what it can do in our lives, in the world.
It shows us that no one is beyond God's reach. No matter what we've done, where we come from, his love and mercy are there for everyone who seeks him.
And Dr. Darko, he makes this point that this transformation, it's not just about our personal lives. It affects how we interact with others, especially within the church.
He's saying that, you know, we've all received this same incredible gift of grace, so there's no room for pride or looking down on others.
We're all on the same level before God, all recipients of his grace.
And that should bring us together. It should create unity in the body of Christ.
Dr. Darko even touches on some sensitive issues like interethnic politics within the church. And he suggests that this shared experience of grace, it should eliminate any sense of superiority or division.
Yeah, it's a tough topic, but it's so important, right? Especially in a world where there's still so much division and inequality. It makes us look at ourselves, at our own actions. Are we really living out this grace in the way we treat others?
We've covered a lot in this deep dive. We've explored how much we need salvation, how deep that need goes, and then we've seen the incredible height and depth of God's grace.
We've talked about how grace isn't just some idea. It's an active force working in our lives, changing us from the inside out.
And we've been challenged to think about how this grace affects our relationships with others, both inside and outside the church.
Dr. Darko leaves us with this, like, really thought-provoking question. He says, if this salvation, this incredible gift of grace, is freely given, how can we keep it to ourselves?
It really gets to the core of what it means to be a follower of Christ, doesn't it?
It's a challenge to go beyond just receiving grace and to become like channels of that grace, sharing it with others who are still looking for hope and healing.
It's like we've been given this cure for a deadly disease, and instead of sharing it, we're hoarding it. That's not what grace is all about.
Right. Grace is meant to be shared. It's meant to flow out from us and touch the lives of those around us.
So as we wrap up this look at Dr. Darko's lecture, think about this. How has God's grace touched your life?
And how can you be a conduit of that grace, a way for it to reach others? It could be simple acts of kindness, words of encouragement, or even sharing your story.
Don't worry about being perfect or having it all figured out.
It's about realizing that we all need grace. And we all have this responsibility to show that same grace to others the same way it's been shown to us. It's about letting that grace ripple outward, touching more and more lives.
Well said. And with that, we'll leave you to think about this amazing mystery and beauty of God's grace. Until next time, keep searching, keep exploring, and keep diving deep. Okay, so we've spent this deep dive really going deep on Dr. Darko's thoughts on salvation by grace. And man, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? We started by looking at just how lost we are, you know, without Christ. Dr. Darko doesn't hold back. He uses some pretty strong words to describe it, you know, spiritually dead, enslaved by the world, our own desires, even those unseen spiritual forces.
It's like, whoa, wake up call, Ray. Like, this is serious stuff. But then just when you're feeling kind of overwhelmed by all that darkness, Dr. Darko brings in that but God moment.
Right.
Oh man, it's like everything changes right then and there.
You know it. Suddenly, God isn't some distant, scary judge just waiting to punish us. He's this loving father who's actively pursuing us. It's like that analogy he used, right? The one about the drowning person.
Yeah.
You wouldn't push away a helping hand if you were drowning. That's what grace is. It's that hand reaching down to rescue us.
Yeah, and it's not just like waiting around for us to grab on. It's actively intervening in our lives, even when we're clueless, you know? Even when we're sinking fast.
And here's the thing, right? This whole incredible gift of salvation, this grace, we can't earn it. It's not about being good enough or following all the rules. Dr. Darko makes that super clear.
Nope, no way. It's a free gift, plain and simple. We receive it through faith. But remember, and he emphasizes this, faith isn't just about thinking it in your head. It's about that deep trust that leads to action. You know, it's about letting go and letting God's love change us, really change us. It's kind of a mind-blowing idea when you think about it. We can't earn salvation. It's totally a gift, but that same gift empowers us to actually live differently, to make choices that come from love and gratitude. You know what I mean? And that's where the story of John Newton hits me hard. I mean, here's this guy. He was involved in the slave trade, like one of the worst things humanity has ever done. But grace transformed him. He went from being part of the problem to being a voice for change, a shining example of God's crazy mercy.
It's like, if grace can transform a heart like that, it can transform anything. It reminds us that nobody is too far gone for God. It doesn't matter what you've done, the darkness you've been in, his grace is bigger, always bigger.
So hopeful, right? And that's the challenge Dr. Darko leaves us with, this gift, this life-changing grace. It's not meant to be a secret. We can't keep it to ourselves.
Exactly. It's like we've been given the cure to this deadly disease, and instead of sharing it, we're hoarding it. Like, what's the point of that? That's not what grace is about at all. So to wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with that question, that challenge. Think about how grace has impacted you, your life, your story, and then ask yourself, okay, how can I be a conduit of grace? How can I pass it on? Maybe it's through simple things, you know. Kindness, encouragement, or even just sharing your story, how grace changed things for you.
Don't get hung up on being perfect or having all the answers. It's about realizing, hey, we all need witness, every single one of us, and we have a responsibility to extend that same grace to others the same way it's been given to us. It's like, you know, letting those ripples spread out, touch more and more lives.
So well said. And with that, we'll leave you to ponder the incredible mystery and beauty of God's grace. Until next time, keep seeking. Keep exploring and keep diving deep.